Hello everyone, I'm broadcasting live November 29th, 2015. With me as always is Robin Esposito. Notice anything different? I shaved today, that's what it is. No, I didn't shave today actually.
No, it's not time yet. You have a few more weeks, right? On the full moon?
I shave my face more regularly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, apparently people get a bad image of you if you have don't have your face shaved. Something like that. Hey, uh-oh, we got a cat person. Am I going to get attacked?
I clicked on a link.
Okay, well, welcome.
Was I not supposed to click on that link?
No, that's great. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know who you are. What's your name?
My name is Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Anne.
You're live on the internet.
Hi. What?
You're live on the internet.
I wasn't expecting that. I just clicked the link.
Life is full of unexpected
That's
things.
Okay.
You're now part of our broadcast. Can we pull her up if I go like this? Does everyone see her?
I think that everyone sees our profiles in smaller pictures. There you go.
I can't force everyone to see here. Present to everyone. Okay. This is our guest. Hello, you're now. But it's too high. You need to move your camera down a little bit.
Now you can see my dirty room.
Okay. Well done. I understand. Okay, I'm going to stop presenting you. You're still here. So, Anne. Welcome, Anne. Did you have a question for us tonight? You want to tell us about yourself? Okay, tell us about yourself first. Do you practice meditation?
Yeah.
How long have you been practicing meditation for?
On and off for about maybe 6 or 7 years. And
awesome.
For the last 6 months, I've been practicing Buddhist meditation regularly.
Okay. Have you tried practicing the way we practice?
Yes.
Have you read my booklet?
Sorry, my question tonight is about moving.
Did you read my booklet on how to meditate?
I watched the videos on sitting and walking meditation.
Okay.
And I read...
There's a booklet that explains it probably a little bit clearer. And if you have a chance, I'd recommend you read. Speaking of, remind me about that. I have to talk about the booklet afterwards. But okay, so you have a question. Go ahead. You get priority because you were bold enough to join us. Even if you want me to see your room.
My question is, and I did type it, but is it appropriate and is it useful to note throughout the day outside of meditation, like washing my dishes? I noted while I washed my dishes, and sometimes sitting at my desk at work, I'll try to note. Is that useful?
Absolutely. In fact, you could say in many ways it's where it's the purpose of training in meditation. Like why we do walking and sitting meditation is to train ourselves to be able to be that way in our lives, you know, to be mindful during our lives. So when you get upset during the day, you can say upset. Training all the time is incredibly useful because then it becomes a habit. Right, which is what we're trying for. We're trying to change our habits. Normally our habit is when we experience things, we judge them. We're very reactionary, reacting to just about everything, whether it's a thought we have or whether it's an experience outside. We react, liking, disliking, identifying, pushing away. You know? So changing that to be objective is incredibly useful. It'll change your whole life. You know, it'll free you up from so much of the stress that comes from being judgmental and having opinions and worrying about things because you think they're yours and so on. So absolutely, if you're washing dishes, then you're just washing dishes, and when it's done, it's done, and you feel so much better than if you were washing dishes and you were worried about your work or your mind is somewhere else. The Buddha said, a person who is not in the present moment is like grass that is cut off from the source. When you cut grass, it shrivels up and dries. And he said, a person who's cut off from reality is the same. So what you're doing is connecting yourself with reality, and this nourishes the mind, keeps the mind fresh and alive.
Thank you.
You should read the booklet, and this chapter 6 talks a little bit about that. Or anything, if you read anything in this tradition, like anything by Mahasi Sayadaw, it talks all about that kind of thing. There's lots of good advice.
I linked to the booklet in the chat there.
Thank you. I'll read it.
Where do you live?
I live in Florida. I live in Eustis, Florida.
What part of Florida?
Central Florida.
How far from Tampa?
Well, I'm actually planning on coming and seeing you on the 26th.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, a couple of hours from Tampa. Not too bad.
Okay. I'll be in Dunedin, which is on the coast, or near the coast.
I love Dunedin. It's beautiful there.
It's where my mother lives. My father came to visit today, and he thinks I should stay in school. So that is something, your parents. You have to think about it. I submitted an essay on Locke today. I think I'll send him my essay for him to read. Got a new robe today from all of you, actually. Many of the people here were involved with that. So thank you, and blessings to all of you. May it bring you peace and happiness to know that you gave someone cloth to cover their body, ward off cold and heat and mosquitoes and ticks, and to cover up the private parts of the body.
Not to mention the snow in Canada.
Yeah, still waiting for it. I'm told there will be snow.
Haven't seen any yet?
We did see a little. Yeah, it snowed a couple of times. Yeah, the big problem with switching colors is everybody's going to comment on it and wonder if you changed somehow. Did you change schools? Are you now a Mahayana monk? That's what they think in Thailand. When you become Mahayana, I switched to purple for a while, the burgundy that they use quite a bit in Sri Lanka. Same thing. Oh yeah, so you're a Mahayana monk now? Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, that was interesting what you were explaining before. Someone had asked about the darker colors, and you were explaining that they're a little more affiliated with certain groups. So, but there is
most of us just wear whatever we get. If you talk to the average monk, they switch and they wear this color and then that color. Nobody really cares. It's only at the big monasteries and the really strict and formal schools where for some reason they get caught up in colors. I mean, it's more for an image than anything. It becomes like a uniform. But to some extent it was meant to be a uniform, but I don't think the color was meant to be uniform. There certainly was never a color that the Buddha picked. He just gave a range, because it depends on what dye you use, what dye you have available. Anyway, I'm going to get lots of questions about it. What else? Something else. Anyway, we have a nice quote today. It's a little long, but it's a really good one. We have some questions, though?
We have questions, yes.
Okay, let's go for the questions then. See how that
goes.
Sure.
One day I am traveling abroad with someone I do not get along with, and I feel terribly homesick. How should I deal with these emotions when I feel like this time will never end? Thank you.
Have you read my booklet on how to meditate? Because it sounds like a fairly simple problem. I mean, it's you have to be mindful. Not getting along with someone, it's partly them, but it's partly you that you get upset and so on. The fact that you feel terribly homesick, well, it's just a feeling, and if you can remind yourself of that, then that will solve the problem there. Feeling like the time will never end, well, that's also just a feeling. It's not going to kill you, so if you can learn to see it just as a feeling, then it'll solve the problem. So I'd recommend reading my booklet and starting to practice accordingly. It's quite helpful in that way.
Thank you, Bhante. You said when there are more objects, the choice of the noted objects should be based on clarity. But other times you say that one should note mental states, such as wanting or disliking or distracted. Does that mean we should give priority to and or actively search for certain unwholesome states?
No, I mean, they're present. If you have pain, for example, and you don't like it, then you should probably note disliking first. Usually we ignore the disliking because we cling to it, right? We hold on to the disliking and we look at the pain and say, there's the problem, and in fact, the problem is here. The problem is in the disliking. So it's not that it's less clear, it's that we ignore it completely. You feel happy and you like it, and so you note the happiness, but you never note the liking, even though the liking is actually clearer. It's not that it's not clear. But there will be times where the feeling will be clearer, then more focus on the feeling. In fact, you can go back and forth, and there are different aspects. In a desire state, there's the desire, there's the feeling, there's the thoughts about it, there's the physical activities, there's the object of your desire. All of these things at different times can become meditation objects. You should not leave anyone out, but whichever one is clearest in the mind, that's the one you should focus on.
And the next question is from Anne, so thank you for popping on and asking that. That was awesome.
Anne names herself Amasaro. Is that Pali?
No, it's my first initial and my last name.
Masaro is your last
name. The Asaro, so I looked it up in the Pali Dictionary, and I saw that the A-S-A-R-O means like illusion or unreality.
What is your name, Masaro or Asaro?
The last name is Masaro.
Masaro. Looks very Pali. I was trying to figure out Amasaro. Amasaro I could probably get, but Masaro. Masa. Yeah. Masu. I think Masu is like, what is Masu? I want to say mustache, but I don't think so. Yeah, it's an interesting name. It could almost be Pali.
And your first question on the robe. Did you level up, Bhante? Brown is good.
Yeah.
How is an arahant different from anagami? Is it a big shift from anagami to arahant, or is it more gradual?
I mean, it's gradual, but you don't become half of an arahant. You stay an anagami until the moment of attaining arahantship, and then it's complete. There's quite a difference. I mean, an anagami might seem somewhat like an arahant, but they still have ambition. They can still be confused. An arahant doesn't have any of that. They can still have conceit. Even an anagami can have conceit.
And that is it for questions so far.
Yeah. See, there's a word amasa, amasa.
What does that mean?
Amasaro means touch. Amasati means to touch. Amasaro would be probably one who has touched, or one who has been touched, maybe. The toucher, maybe. It means one who has touched Nibbana, you could say.
That's a very good name.
That's a pretty awesome name.
Yeah. It'd be easy to find you a Pali name if you want to ordain as a monk someday.
Okay. I shouldn't say I do, but I do. But I have children, so.
Ah. Yeah, masu is a beard, right?
It's a beard?
Mustache, yeah. So masara is one who has a beard. Probably. I'm not the ara. Ara is odd, but I think you can put ra at the end. Masara, one who has a beard or something like that. Not exactly.
Well, you said Masara is one who has a beard?
Masu is a beard, so
Masuka is one. Wouldn't Amasuro be one without a beard?
That's right. Amasuka is one without a beard. A woman. A woman is Amasuka. It wouldn't be a Masara. Masara has to do with touching. But it's more physical than metaphorical. Because pusati. When you touch Nibbana, it's more of, it's a different word that they use. Amasa. Questions?
Yes. What do you think about the Theravadan claim that an anagami goes to some kind of heaven after death?
Okay, this is the same person. He's coming back and asking again. I told you, no more questions. You have to go and meditate. He's got all these anagami questions. Not going to answer them. You want to come here, you meditate with us, and ask questions about your meditation. No more anagami questions. I'm not
interested. I'm not sure you'll like the next question either then, but we'll give it a try. Are concentration and effort always balanced in an arahant?
Maybe not. I think you might want to say yes, but I think there can be an excess. I don't think they have to always be balanced. It's interesting. Interesting question. But again, why? Who cares? Go meditate. Patrick, are you? Isn't this the Patrick who meditates with us?
It is, yes.
Why are you yellow?
Maybe Patrick is meditating after. Oh, Patrick meditates all the time. Yeah. He must be meditating after hangout tonight.
Go meditate. Stop asking these questions.
We have a long quote.
I don't want to get into it. It's been a long day. I've got meditators here. I just finished my essay. My father came to visit. We had Visuddhimagga this afternoon. I think we've done enough today, no? It was a robe offering.
We had a long long volunteer meeting.
How did that go? Tell us about that, because I didn't.
Well, you actually came in at the end of it. It was a great volunteer meeting. We started out saying, this will be short because Bhante can't make it to the volunteer meeting. We won't have much to talk about. And we ended up having quite a few things to talk about anyway. And then towards the end, Bhante arrived. And we were trying to plan for a small ceremony to offer the robe to Bhante and trying to figure out how everyone could get there at the same time. And it just wasn't working out, you know, because it's tough. It's tough to get people in the same place at one time. And then we just realized, well, the present moment is perfect. There were some meditators there, and they presented the robe to Bhante and while we were still online with them. And it's all recorded as part of our volunteer meeting, so we can post that for anybody who would like to see it. But it was nice. It worked out nicely. Nothing like the present moment.
Anything of interest else happened in the meeting? Snow blower.
We were talking about the fact that your electric bill is quite high.
Electric bill?
Your electric bill is quite high. It was about $300 for 2 months, and that seems high given the fact that your heat is natural gas. So the electricity should be just lights and just lights and appliances.
Well, so I'm going to in my room. Does Aruna use an electric heater in his room? No, I don't think so.
No, he said he wasn't using it. So I was going to contact the electric company and see if they would be willing to do an energy audit. You know, generally, the utilities will do those things. And then if it turns out there's something wrong with the meter, if they're charging more wattage than what they should, because that does seem a little high. Jeff said by comparison, his is about $50 a month, although he is in a different province, so he might have lower rates.
It does seem strange. I'm trying to think. Well, my electric heater maybe, but it's not a big one.
If they do an audit, they can just, you know, see if there's something radically wrong or something wrong with the meter or maybe one of the appliances. If like a fridge or a freezer is very old and not energy efficient, it can be a big draw. Sometimes it's actually worth it to invest in a newer, more energy efficient model.
The deep freeze downstairs maybe, but still $150 a month.
It seems like a lot, yeah. So we're going to look into that. And let's see. I'm still wondering about your winter project, you know, what we can do to help with your winter project that you wanted to do. Is there any more information on that, Bhante?
No, Sundamali said Monday or Tuesday someone's going to go to the place and talk to them.
Wonderful.
But there was something else. What was it? Oh, the booklet. Someone is going to Sri Lanka on the 5th. Shehan is going to Sri Lanka on the 5th. And I was going to get them to bring back some booklets with them. So the organization could arrange that, or we could have everyone, if anyone wants to support that, you know, be a part of the printing, we could do an online thing. What do you think?
Sure. Now, what do you mean booklet? Do you mean your book?
Yep.
Oh, so they'll actually print it up for you?
1,000 of them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. It's 55 rupees each, which I think is... How much is 55 rupees? 25 cents?
.823 US dollars, so 82 cents.
No. Are you sure? You're looking at Indian rupees.
55 Indian rupee? Is the Sri Lankan rupee different?
Sri Lankan rupees, yeah, it's different.
Oh, okay.
It's about 50 cents. Okay. So 50 cents each. 50 cents each. For 1,000 is $500.
$500. That's well worth it. That's a great way to share that.
So yeah, if what do you think, Robin?
Yeah, that would definitely be something we'd want to support.
Do you have time to work on that?
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay, so we will do that, and also the winter project. So we'll have two projects going. That'll be nice. Just need a little more information on the other project.
Yeah.
And the other thing just going on within the volunteer group, as Surrey Mungo International is in the process of redoing bylaws, so people that are interested in reviewing the bylaws and coming to a meeting to vote on them, that would be our next volunteer meeting. We're just going to ask people to take a look at it. So if anyone hasn't been involved but would like to become involved, if you can just send me an email or our Facebook group also, Surrey Mungo International Volunteers on Facebook. We're in a bunch of different places. But I'll post my email in the meditation chat. And we're definitely looking for more people to become involved and to take a look at the new bylaws, which are, they're actually, it's a template provided by the province of Ontario. So it's something that they actually provide, and it lets you know the rules that a nonprofit organization is required to abide by. So it seems pretty solid, but always good to have different people take a look at it and say, hey, you know, this is maybe something that is a concern. So just send me an email if you'd like to become involved. We would be happy to have you. And we have a question from Brenna, who states that even though she's yellow, she did meditate today. Renunciation is considered a wholesome deed, but can fixating, clinging to the idea of renunciation be considered unwholesome?
Brenna, you get a pass. You don't have to be clear. You get a lifetime pass, so don't worry about that. Absolutely, yeah, if you're fixated on anything. The Buddha said, Sabbe dhamma nalang abhinivesaya. No dhammas are worth clinging to. That includes nibbana. Clinging to any dhamma is a problem. You know, often we want to escape our problems, and so it's not really renunciation that we're talking about. Often it's running away. Not wanting to have to deal with the stress of possessions. At face value, that can be wholesome, right? If you just can't be bothered, if you've given up any desire for possessions, that's good. But if you're upset about having to deal with possessions, that's not good. You see? So it's kind of weird, because true renunciation you could never be attached to, but true renunciation is renouncing even desire to renounce, you know, desire to be free, desire to escape. In a sense, I mean, it's really hard to talk, because there is some sense where desire to be free and desire to escape is good, is wholesome, but it's not really desire. It's just the knowledge-based impetus that leads you there. But there's no upset if it doesn't go the way you planned or anything, right? There's no attachment involved. It's just more of an inclination. So what we want to develop is the inclination to renounce. And you just become inclined to, you turn away, as the Buddha said. You become nibbita, nibbida, which means you become disenchanted. Nibindati duke esamago visuddhiya. This is the path of purity. Okay. Good night. Good night,
Thank you,
Anne.
Bhante.
Thank you for being brave and joining us. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, and thank you, Bhante. Have a
Thanks,
good evening,
Robin.
everyone.
Good night, evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us.